Hello and welcome to our 43rd episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about the new Gutenberg plugin releases, Gutenberg 10.5, then about the block patterns and a call for testing not only full-site editing or the refactored gallery block, but also the 5.8 alpha releases. I'm Birgit Pauli Hart, curator at the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Grzegorz Czulkowski, JavaScript developer at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. Good afternoon, Grzegorz. How are you today?
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, depending where people live. I'm great. We finally have a proper spring in Poland.
Yes.
Birgit, believe it or not, I could go out today in a t-shirt for the first time this year.
Wow.
And
good.
Yeah, but there is more. I also signed up for my first COVID-19 shot, and it will be happening next week, so I'm very excited. So it feels like the rest of 2021 is going to be very exciting. So how about you? Did you get your first vaccine already?
Well, glad you're getting yours next week. Do you know what you're getting? Are you doing Pfizer or?
Yes, so yeah. I could pick, and I went for Moderna because it was like the shortest period of time. Mm-hmm. I would have to wait. And also this is mRNA, so it should be good.
Yeah. We got our Moderna shots, the second shots already last week. So we are 1 week into the waiting period, and then hopefully we will first meet with friends mid-May because they got their second shots as well. And we will go out for dinner somewhere. And we're really looking
world.
Forward to that. Yeah, that's a new world now.
After like newborn.
Yeah.
Exploring world again and see what's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So before we get into our changelog or the Gutenberg plugins, I wanted to do a few announcements. If you, dear listener, haven't heard the W briefing episodes, comes out fortnightly. Josepha Hayden Chomfossi, the executive director of the open source projects, does.
And also
10,
my boss.
And also Greg's boss, my boss too, as a contributor. And this week she talked about in an open source project, your opinion counts. The user's opinion counts quite a big deal. The work is done by people who show up. And I found the whole episode quite reassuring for me as an existing contributor. And it also had an appeal for WordPress users to get more involved in communicating back to the team about bug reports or also chime in on the public discussions on features and design. She also explained why and how user feedback is so important for building software for millions. We cannot think about all the things all the time. Yeah, so there, I think WordPress is translated into 200 languages. And yeah, a lot of people around the world that are not English speaking are actually using it. So it's really important to for everybody to, not everybody can do that, but yeah, has the time for it. But it's absolutely great to listen to that. I really appreciate Josepha's leadership style. She's so good. And the show warmed my heart.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Josepha is always thinking about the community. She's so compassionate and dedicated to help everyone succeed in the project. And that's great that she's so much reaching out to people now and sharing her vision so more people can hear about that in her podcast.
Yeah. And she also has a new editorial calendar for the news section of WordPress.org. And she started that, I think, about a month ago. And there's a new post out. So Mark and Grzegorz and I, we have been talking for over a year about full-site editing. And yes. We might lose the people who've come in new on our podcast. because we're so, they might feel that they're jumping right into the deep end of the pool. But you also, if it's not the case, that you might talk to customers or other WordPress users, and they start now beginning to think about or learn about full site editing and how to explain that might be hard for you. So Josefa published a WordPress.org news post called Curious About Full Site Editing. And there she explains briefly what full site editing is for each group of the users. Yeah, being a site owner or operator of a site, extenders and contributors. So it's a short post in comparison to other people's posts. And it definitely gets you a head start with the resources that she points out how to get a deeper dive in. So I've just wanted to talk about this earlier in our podcast to show that there are new things out there for normal users. Yeah, that are not so regular into users. The regular users. And not the crazy, not the ones that are so deep into the development or into the WordPress core kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's quite important. Also, in the news section of the makewordpress.org, there are more posts being published recently related to full site editing and the blog editor. So definitely you should subscribe if you are curious to learn how to use everything related to the Gutenberg project, because there are tutorials now. And there are some resources to the Learn WordPress website, where there is even more resources to explore if you want to get deeper in how to mostly use the WordPress as a product or website.
Yeah, glad you mentioned that. The learn.wordpress.org site has pretty exploded with a lot of tutorials that are either half an hour or 15 minutes. And then what is really helpful is a discussion group afterwards. Yeah. So even if the workshop has been up there for a month or two, you always get ongoing workshops, discussion groups on Meetup. So you definitely should follow up on that as well, if there's a new feature out there or you wanted to dive into a different area of WordPress. Speaking of testing, there are only a few days left to work and comment on the latest call for testing and your query quest. March 5th is the deadline, and it's an interesting test because you get to go to the heart of WordPress as a blogging platform or post platform, where you can, the loop is now in a blog. It's called the query blog. And we talked about the show before about that, but I just wanted to remind you, if you wanted to participate, May 5th is the deadline. And if you listen to this afterwards, you definitely can go into the show notes and read up about the summary and how what people surfaced about that particular query blog. I think Anne McCarthy does a fantastic job.
Oh, yes.
Curating all the feedback, even if you only have 10 or 15 testers. Yeah, but they've surfaced so many bugs and so many additional ideas that is very helpful for the team. So you can definitely contribute for that if you just go through the testing there.
Yeah, I must agree. This is one of the best things happening recently. So if you compare with the initial Gutenberg release 2 or 3 years ago, I don't remember, we didn't have this type of testing, which shows that it was a big missed opportunity. However, I want to emphasize that Anne is doing excellent job going through all those reports and picking the most important issues. So it's not like flooding with every single report, but she's trying to combine the feedback and distill what's the most important. She's doing also, as far as I remember, the second round of Ask Me Anything. So she will be answering questions related to full site editing. So if you have any questions, you can send it to Anne and she will go through that later. And I also listened to the episode of WP Tavern podcast. I think they started recording that again with a new host. And Anne was also a guest there, and she was talking more in depth about all the efforts she's doing with call for testing and all the outreach she's trying to help find people to talk more how they feel about the full site editing. And it's really insightful. You should check it out.
Yeah, Nathan Wrigley did a great job in interviewing Anne about the full site editing program on the WP Tavern Jukebox, which is the new title of the podcast that was revitalized a month ago with Nathan Wrigley as the host. We will have all the things, the call for testing, the call for questions, and the link to the jukebox episode with Anne McCarthy in the show notes, so you don't have to Google with it. Now, speaking about podcasts, a big shout out also to Bob Dunn and Mendel Kurland and the Do the Woo podcast. Jagosz Czykowski was their guest in their 100. That's him. was their guest in their 110th episode. And I listened to it on my drive back to Sarasota yesterday. And it was a fabulous discussion about the opportunities of working with blogs in an e-commerce context and also beyond the full site editing. Mendel did a great job with his questions. And Jagosz had some excellent explanations about micro templates and blogs as the small building material for more complex implementations and the advantages of a standardized interface for users and extenders in WordPress core. So yeah, listen to that also in the show notes. How did you feel about it?
Oh yes, so that was very hard. I mean, I was almost like, you know, during interrogation, but I mean it in a very good way, because the questions were very well prepared. We went very in depth in many aspects, and I tried to think out of the box of the usual thinking I have when I contribute and work on the features for full site editing or extensibility for plugin authors. And you know, the Woo is completely different landscape. They have different type of customers. They have different requirements. It's more about making money. So the approach that has to be taken there is much more complex in terms that you need to ensure that nothing breaks. So using Gutenberg plugin probably is not a good option on the website when you want to sell something. So that was interesting perspective to think about those type of website builders. So if you want to learn more, definitely check out the podcast.
Do the Woo. And of course, a link will be in the show notes. I also want to give a shout out to Markus Kazmierczak, who has on his Twitch channel, you can watch him build a block-based theme. And he narrates the steps and the reasoning that he behind it. And I learned a lot about watching Markus, but really nothing beats a hands-on demonstration and walkthrough. So compliments to Markus, and also thank you to him for the shout out of the Gutenberg Nightly plugin build on the available on the Gutenberg Times that I create almost every morning. So you have the newest merges from the Gutenberg team that you can test.
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to try this plugin. And most recently we had Gutenberg 10.5 release, and we had three follow-up fix releases. So that's why I really think that it's quite important to make sure that more people start testing this nightly version, or you can also test using the RC that is always published a week earlier, and it will help us to prevent this type of issues that we encountered this week after the releasing the new version of the plugin. And I just hope that more people start doing that. So
yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we have new version of the plugin that was released on Wednesday night. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it was even Thursday, my time. So depending where you live. And before we get into that, I just want to mention why we have bug fix releases. So just after the release, there was some major issues discovered, one of them being the feature for drag and drop from the insert that stopped working. And there were some minor issues. And the select mode, it didn't quite work, but it was very quickly, like in 1 hour, we had bug fixes. But it introduced another another regression. This is what happens when you try to fix things quickly. But we also have another bug fix release. This is something very specific. If someone opts in for loading styles per block on the front end, they could encounter these issues that styles would load in a wrong order, so some of the blocks wouldn't be styled properly, but it's also fixed. It was actually fixed a few days before, but somehow it was missed to be backported.
Yeah, didn't make it into the plugin somehow. Yeah, because I think some of the things also happen because now the time between the release candidate and the final release is actually a week, and yes. Someone who releases also, or when you merge it, you need to make sure that it's not going into the old release. It's prepared for the new release, but then everybody is working from the new stuff and what happened with the old stuff kind of thing. I'm not sure if the longer period actually did for the team what it was supposed to do, that people test more and longer on the new features. So when the release comes out, that it's actually more stable. I think it could be that the opposite actually happened. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's you know, you can't tell really. It definitely is, you see the issues in the development branch and people react to that pretty quickly. However, for the RC, I have no idea how many people actually test that. I know about Automatic, that there is a team that tests that against WordPress.com, but how it's happened, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I know that when we release and it goes to people and you get auto-update enabled on your website, so people then go like in a minute and report issues, but otherwise, I don't know if we can improve. I like personally this 1 week period that gives a lot of flexibility for the process. We probably just need to make sure that the feedback from testing is better communicated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe something like that.
Yeah, so and just another thought for our listeners. Yeah, if you want to use the nightly to get the new features either sooner or get the fixes already that you found. Because that was the original idea for me in October that I was testing a lot for 5. I don't know which version, but 5.5 probably. And I connected with the team and there were so many updates in already merged that I had 2 or 3 times the answer. So can you test in master again? Yeah, it's probably already fixed and I had to do it all over again, but not after I actually filed the issue, and creating an issue is rather time intensive. Yeah. So I said, okay, I learned how to do that and do a nightly build. And Andy Fragan, who is also a core contributor on the beta tester plugin, helped me connecting that with another plugin that will update when there is an updated nightly there. So there is so once you install not one plugin, but 2 plugins, you get not automatic updates, but you get the notification in your plugins that a new nightly is there. So you don't have to come back to the website. It will just be in your testing site. And you just click on the update now, like you do with other plugins, and you get the new version. So, but that it's an interesting conundrum. And we have some more information about that. So that's about the updates of the point releases, but what is actually in Gutenberg 10.5, Greg?
Finally, I think this release is really nice. It is fully packed with features and we still don't have new features enabled for the major WordPress release. So we are still waiting for, let's say, for widget screen to be enabled for the inclusion in core. But let me go just into the changelog and I can talk about some interesting stuff. So
yes, please do.
Yeah, so there are some changes to core blocks. So one thing is very interesting. So Fireblock, it now got an enhancement. So you can embed PDF files and it shows now preview of the file. There's some little remark that it doesn't work with all mobile devices, but in general, it looks really nice. You can also pick the height of this preview. So definitely very interesting option.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it here on the episode, on the changelog before, but a lot of people really like their PDFs on their websites. And if you can do previews, you can actually create some nice grids with columns to show more than one document in one on one page. Yeah, so I really like that.
Yeah, and I saw people are discussing other file formats, so I hope to see more in the future. There is a new block. So each release we have new blocks. This one is post comments link block. So this is just a tiny link that allows you to go to the comments section on the website for the given post. And there is one interesting accessibility improvement. So in the columns block, before you would only hear when using assistive technology that you are in the column and you are editing another column and another column, but it wouldn't tell you which one. So now it's fixed. It tells the number. So this way someone can hear, so navigate easier in the columns block.
Yeah, that was really missing for a long time. Yeah. We will have the link in the show notes as well, because I really, for someone who's can see, it's really important to learn how this with the screen reader actually works, or at least how that sounds to someone who is only listening to it. Yeah, and that's it's a quite an interesting experience. And the PR has actually the video and how it is done now. Oh. In a video, meaning with the voice, what happens on screen, and with the voice announcement from the assistive technology. Yeah,
yeah, it's very challenging to close the eyes and navigate in the editor. Mm-hmm. In general, it's really hard. And we have also another change related to global styles for the buttons block. We have now typography support, so you can change font size.
And yay. I was looking for it the other day.
And there's a huge change for block patterns. So as far as I'm aware, all existing block patterns were removed, but we have now 15 new patterns and they are updated. And also that isn't all. So we discussed in past episodes that there's ongoing work on integration between patterns and the query block. And now there is also integration for other blocks. So if you go and click in the toolbar on the transform button, you could transform your block into a pattern. So it opens a lot of new possibilities. So some of the blocks that were enhanced in this way are paragraph, heading, list, and similar formatting blocks. So it's really nice because it allows you to add some additional content to those blocks, like you can transform paragraph to a paragraph that is styled in a given way, and in my add some media or stuff like that.
I really like that. Yeah, it's a very interesting interface now, and you can get to a very styled website pretty quickly now with all the block patterns that are in there. And there were some nice ones. I just tested them just before we started working on it. Yeah. Well, talking about the block pattern, the Meta team also just recently published a post, updated us on the block pattern directory on WordPress.org. Kelly Joy Stwan introduced the directory in a beta version. So now you can go to WordPress.org/patterns, and they're arranged in squares in 5 categories with button and columns, gallery, header, and text patterns. And you click on a square and then you see a details page with a larger representation and a button that says copy pattern, or you can favorite them. And there are handles on the left and right side on it where you can test the pattern for different screen sizes. So you can use the handle and make it smaller or bigger. And that it's really interesting experience. You can also favorite them, but Kelly wrote that the copy button doesn't work yet, but I quickly tested it and just pasted it in a new post, one pattern in a new post, and it worked fine. So she might have, since she published that post, updated that, and maybe it's not always working for everyone, but you didn't even have to be in the code edit mode to actually copy paste it. And that was, I was wondering about that, but that worked fine.
Yeah, so I saw that as well, probably on my phone. So it looked great there as well. So that means that patterns are really nicely prepared for also small viewports.
Screens. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really like how it looks from the design standpoint, and I'm looking forward how it develops. And also one thing I wanted to mention is that eventually block patterns that are bundled with the Gutenberg plugin and soon the WordPress 5.8, they will eventually be moved out and they will be available only in the block patterns directory. So the integration between those two tools will be much more tighter.
Yeah, and Kelly also mentioned in her post that the interaction with the block editor is actually coming to the 5.8 release. And so how would that, and what else would be in there? So anyone will be able to browse on the through the pattern on the website based on the categories and searching for them. And then anyone can live preview them and copy into their own code. You will also be able to create and share block patterns on the site. So you can view and submit their own patterns. Yeah? And that's where I think is the big power of this feature.
Yes, super exciting. Yeah. I think that will be a game changer for people, that they will be able to go to one website, play with the blogs, add just that, create some incredible design and share it with the rest of the community.
Yeah. So, and if you as a theme developer or designer think about making patterns, in the first iteration, you won't be able to upload any media, but you will be able to pick from curated images. So if you have combination with images, patterns with images, that's how it's gonna work. And the submitted block pattern will also have a basic validation and automated moderation. And then from the block editor, you will be able to search and fetch the core patterns from the directory. That's coming to 5.8 to a WordPress instance near you.
That's surprising. I didn't know that there will be integration in the block editor.
Right.
I definitely missed development on that part.
Yeah, similar to the blocks directory. So for now, if you go there, use at your own risk. It's beta. It's not live yet. It's not in production yet. Check it out. Comment on her post. And you can also follow along and contribute to via the GitHub repository, github.com/WordPress, and then /pattern-directory. And any comments on existing issue are certainly welcome. Yeah. And so this was a little side note on the block patterns. Now we're going back to Gutenberg 10.5.
Yes, and we are still talking about enhancements. So there is this new feature. Finally, it's there. It's called template editing mode. So when you are editing your post or page, you can create template, like something that will span over the whole page and replace the default PHP template using the theme. And you will be able to use all the blocks available for full site editing there. And it gets several enhancements just after it was merged. So when you will open that, so this will be in the sidebar in the same, it has its own section in the document settings. So it's probably under post status and post info. And there you will be able to give it a name. Then it will transition to a different view with nice animation, and it will have border and some type of shadow just to stand out that it's a different type of editing than you usually see. And yeah, I mean,
yeah, so it has its own section, and then you can create a new template. Yeah,
and then you will open a model when you can give it a name, and then it will transition to a new view that has a special border and
yeah, and you can add all the other blocks to it,
full site editing blocks. And once you are finished, you can go back to editing your post. And once you click publish, it will ask you if you are happy with the changes applied. So you can decide whether you want to save changes to the template as well. Or you can also, well, revert that change. So yeah, that's really exciting. What do you think, Birgit?
Well, that's exciting because that's pretty much the feature that will be in 5.8 and needs a lot of testing and a lot of ideas to come with that. It's definitely the place where I said, okay, I want to have a landing page that does not look like the rest of the pages because I separately advertise it or share it with others. So a user gets a lot more creativity going on their own site. Yeah.
Yes. And also one important note in the plugin, it says opt out. So there is a filter that allows you to say that you don't want to expose it to users. So that's really important. I'm looking forward to see how it ends up in WordPress 5.8, in what form. We will keep you updated on that one for sure.
Excellent. Yeah. So that brings us in the changelog to the bug fixes. And there are plenty, like in every changelog, concerning the block library. All the different blocks get additional refinement. Like, for instance, the image block, there now the media buttons are disabled when things are updated, when a new image is uploaded, so you can go further without having a finished upload there. The block editor itself has a few refinements there. Components were updated, added, and fixed. And the general interface has, now there is a way to take the colors from the WP admin theme and have it in the block editor. And yeah, and one is you can also hide the template selector and the template mode from non-viewable post types. So I think the template only works with pages right now and not for posts and not for events or anything else. So it's hidden for that. That brings us to the ever smaller becoming experiment section with right there now, instead of four, there are only three in there now, because full site editing is the editor itself is out of experiments. So for the block based widgets, we have a few changes and great progress in the integration to the customizer. So there are now media upload capabilities in the block-based widget customized screen. You can now add rich text and also images and video and all other medias, audio. And then there are quite a few fixes on the customizer integration. So this is definitely progress, and we're looking forward to the next version of it, which will be 10.6 is the 10.7 will be the last one before the beta. So there are a few iterations to be seen.
Yes, two more.
Yeah.
Two more releases. And I hope that this will land finally, because it looks really nice. I saw also this those changes and how they look, and it gives a lot of power. Now you not only can add widgets, but you mix them with blocks, and that opens a lot of possibilities for site owners, and in particular for those who have classic themes. They don't have to do anything. They can just start using blocks there.
Yeah. And the legacy widget, that's the the method on how the existing widgets from your theme are, and plugins are actually converted to block-based widgets, and they're always working on the backwards compatibility. So if you're a theme author or plugin author and you have widgets in your plugins and in your theme, use this release to test your implementation and see what breaks, and definitely report it back to the team so they can now work on your on your case, on your use cases, and catch as many edge cases as possible, so when the rollout comes, it's not so pain inducing.
Yeah, I think they are working mostly with core widgets at the moment, which is quite limited at least. So any feedback is very valuable in this context.
Yeah.
Because it's also one of the most difficult integrations, similar to what we had with meta boxes and initial Gutenberg rollout.
Yeah, and team, this was really good to test this out. So the navigation editor is progressing fine as well. They're all really nice refinements. Only one stand out for me, that for a user point of view, it's that it will limit how many levels deep you can actually create a nesting navigation. So, and right now it's 5. It's something to figure out, because the real estate on the screen kind of is limited, and what the interface does when it's more than 5, it's kind of up in the air, and they wanted to limit that. You're not limited in not have more, but the display is only for 5 right now. So the team around Global Styles is definitely working on integrating the theme JSON information, that it's housing all the settings and all the design styles for blocks and template parts and all that, gets into for block-based themes. And yeah, do you have anything to say about that,
Jennifer? Yeah, so it's also block supports. I mean, this is features, so you can disable some features for blocks. So if you don't like a typography that was just added to the buttons block, you can just disable that using this theme JSON. It also is now a way to opt in for a full site editing theme. And more so, I think the work is taking so long because Andre, who is leading efforts, he's working on mechanism that will allow in the future to introduce another version of the schema. So if you will want to add new capabilities that won't be very compatible, this will be the translation layer that will bring that. So it's not necessarily something that is required for the initial release. However, this is a great way to test existing experimental teams, that they will transition smoothly to the schema that will be included in WordPress, hopefully in WordPress 5.0. So far, everything's looking on track.
Yeah, it's an interesting experiment there, definitely. Yeah, which brings us to documentation.
Yes, and there's a lot happening in that space. I think also thanks to you, Birgit, the documentation for Gutenberg is getting a lot of improvements. And we are also working on tools. So there is this tool called Doggen, and this is a way to generate from the code comments the public API document, the documentation for public APIs. So whenever something changes, it automatically gets updated and propagated to the block editor handbook. And so there was 4 changes, mostly how types of params are presented in the output. And there was also an interesting change how block API reference is organized in the handbook. So Markus Kazimierczak worked on that. So he sorted it differently by name, because there are so many sub pages, and you should definitely check it out if you are interested in blog development. And also there is some general cleanup to make sure that it's easier to scan and navigate. And there is also many changes in the code quality section. And one thing I personally work on is we are trying to standardize the way blog editor settings are exposed from the server. And the challenge is that in the initial release of Gutenberg, we assumed that all happens around the post. So those hooks that we want to change depend on the post object, which aren't present on the edit widgets page or in the future edit navigation page. So we will have probably to deprecate some PHP filters and create new ones. So if you have plugins that depend on the block editor settings or allowed block types, definitely watch progress on that, and there will be dev note as soon as we sort out how to move forward with that.
Yes, interesting. And it's definitely a work in progress so many years before, because you cannot anticipate you do in 2019, what's happening in 2021, right? So yeah, things need to be updated over and over again. It's interesting, but it gets on the nerves on a few people.
Yeah, there's more to it, but I don't want, I could talk for an hour.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt about it, yeah.
Getting back to code quality, we also have a change for the how drop zone works. So it's very technical, but we had this React component called providers that were used for this functionality. And now it's refactored to use React hooks, which makes it much easier to maintain. And it will probably help also plugin authors to add drag and drop to their features. So check that out if you want to integrate better with this type of interactions.
Is this change responsible for not having that endless scroll when you're on the bottom of things and kind of scrolls, you can never can land a block on the bottom when you go multiple screens?
It might be. I'm not quite sure. Ella was working on that, and she was working also on the fix you mentioned, so that might be interrelated. What I know about is that one of the bug fixes that we had after the plugin release was related to this improvement, and the only change they had to do is just add one line to make it work. So it's, it just shows the power of the new API, that it's really well thought, that the way it integrates.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad that that is finally fixed. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And we are in the last section, which is tools. And there's one thing that I found interesting that looked like an improvement into integration text for the web version. However, it slipped in from the release for the mobile apps. So if you are using WordPress mobile app on Android or iOS, those tests are created to ensure that everything works there correctly. So yes, I think that the way the app works is improving a lot. They add more core blocks there. So I don't know, do you use this app?
Yeah, I try to, but I'm always get stuck when I want to write text on the size of a keyboard size of a brownie. So I'm fat finger most of it, and then I give up and say, "Oh wait, there was a very interesting plugin coming to the system from Felix Arntz, who actually has plugins called Save Target." And I was testing around with that. So you could use your own website similar to Instagram, where you just kind of take the photo from your cell phone and then use the share functionality with your own website. And that would be so, but for that, a few things need to happen. I'm just mentioning that I'm not there yet, but I want to get there because I want to finish my deleting my account from Facebook, and I'm still on Instagram. So and that's owned by Facebook, and it's so easy to publish your photos that I really don't want to leave it unless I have something that's I can point people to. So yeah, that kind of digresses a bit, but we have a few things more from build tooling in this release, and that's your specialty.
So one thing that I wanted also to mention is it's called WP Inf. It's a package that you can download from NPM. It's called WordPress/ENV, and it is basically the development environment for Gutenberg. So if you are working, contributing, you most likely are interacting with this one, and it got several improvements. I have no idea what that is, but it looks very advanced. So something that gets a lot of improvements lately. And one thing related to the PDF preview is that there is now a way to build a script that is only used on the front end. So that lens will also be included in the navigation block. So it will have this hamburger menu that on the smaller screens allow you just to show the icon, and upon clicking, it will show you the menu. So it will be developed using that. And that's also one thing I discussed during the Woo podcast about Woo blogs. They mostly depend on similar techniques because they use a lot of interactivity on the front end. So that's something that will probably end up with a public API to use with all blogs. So plugin authors will benefit from that, but we need to have more examples before we solidify that.
Will that feature also make it easier to integrate with a kind of third-party API where you're just kind of need to have the, where only the front end is actually displaying something? You don't have to do a lot in the back end, like just the API key or some authentication, but the rest is always done in the front end. You don't have to have, unless you want to have a preview in the editor, but yeah, so that would that also be possible to have front end, yeah, use those front end points for display?
Yeah, I think that this is where it is heading. At the moment, I have no idea how people do that. Probably they just use some code that integrates. They print some div tag and apply some data attributes to share those type of information. So it's something, if you have some insight and you have plugins, reach out to me, give me some tour over your feature, and I will be more than happy to think how that would translate into the API that could benefit more plugin authors.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yes. Yeah, we're almost at the end of the changelog, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. And that brings us to the end of the Gutenberg changelog from the plugin changes. We have a few things that we wanted to share with you from active development or discussion. And the previous 2 years, when block editor changes come into core, the earliest that was happening there was at beta. And that's sometimes a little late to catch a few bugs and usability issues with core. So Jagosz, you have been working on patching Gutenberg plugin releases after plugin releases to WordPress core, so that when somebody uses the beta tester plugin and uses the nightly stream and the blooding edge channel, you could already see all the changes that were in the latest plugin, right? Say that right?
Yes, everything is correct. So I made a promise 1 month ago that I will look into it. And with big help from Riyadh, we managed to backport all the non-experimental changes from Gutenberg 10.4 to the WordPress trunk, which is the name of the branch where development happens in core. And we should have an update early next week. This week was a little bit hectic because of this bug fix releases. So I didn't manage to get to it or anyone else, But next week you should expect another update. And I hope that after 10.6, you will see a lot of experiments enabled in core as well.
That's good. That's good. Then you can kind of see it in this native habitat, the new things. And then, yeah, but there are some other things that you want to point out, Dragoš?
Yes, just one more thing about these changes in the WordPress core. If you want to watch changes and be sure that you are testing the latest Gutenberg plugin, we will leave a link to the ticket, which is 52991 in the WordPress track. And there are more things. So it's, I think, one of the big news to share that WordPress is officially dropping support for Internet Explorer 11. And Jonathan Desrosiers, he made a post with a plan how it will happen. So I can tell that in Gutenberg 10.6, we won't support IE11 anymore because all the changes required are already included in the development branch. And
excellent. Yes. So yeah, if you are, and that's also, that's for the admin part. It's not for the, yes, so users who use Internet Explorer 11 and come to your website still can see your website. Although I think Microsoft has a tool where it actually interfaces with the Internet Explorer and kind of shows your Edge instead. So that there's a push from Microsoft as well to discontinue Internet Explorer 11. It's not just something that, yeah, WordPress core contributors have from thin air. There is some research went into that decision, and we have the link in the show notes. You can read up about, yeah, what brought us to this decision there. All right, so before we end the show, I only have one more item. That's the WordCamp Europe is coming about. And it's again, will be a virtual event. We all had hoped we could go to Porto, if not last year, then this year. There was the decision that it's going to be a virtual event again. And it's June 7th through June 9th in 2021. And it will, one of the 3 days will be a contributor day. And I just remember the contributor day from last year I think 8 hours of Zoom meeting and meet all the other documentation contributor. And we onboarded quite a few new contributors for the blog editor end user documentation. So it's always good to see our friends from Europe, even if we are not being able to do it physically or in person, but it's definitely one of the larger WordCamps. And the organizing team has always good ideas on how to make it still interactive, even if you're sitting in front of your computer for another few hours.
Yes, it was a really interesting experiment last year because it was one of the first online events like that and a big one. So I remember also sitting in front of my computer on Zoom and going through those chats. It was very interesting to see it from a different perspective. I hope that next year it will be in person and Porto at last will have an opportunity to meet people. But let's see how it goes.
Yeah, and I remember last year it was actually a decision within 2 months that needed to go from in-person meeting, that the whole year was kind of pushed into the in-person meeting before that. And then 2 months before the WordCamp was planned, there was a decision we go virtual. So all of a sudden, all the work, everything needed to be canceled. And as it burned, I just wanted to remind that the organizing team did spend a huge amount of time to not only organize for an in-person event, but also cancel the event and then gear up again for a virtual event. And that was it was a great WordCamp. Yeah, so June 7th to June 9th, 2021 is WordCamp Europe. And if you get a minute, dear listeners, yeah, and write us a review on Stitcher or iTunes or any other podcast directory, we would love reading your comments. Yeah, and it also helps with the propagation. Yeah.
Yes, we would like to hear from you what you like or not like, and how we can make the show better for you.
Yeah, and it's all for you. So as always, the shows will be published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions and suggestions and don't want to write it in a public review, you can always send us an email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So thank you, Greg. I wish you all the luck for your COVID vaccine shot next week. And glad that you took the time again today to put this podcast together, this episode together.
Thank you very much. I hope it goes smooth and you will see in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks so much. And bye-bye, dear listeners. Be safe. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.